How's that? Yellow. All right. All right. Well, let's just get right into the Word, see what God has for us on this Sunday morning. My message is from John. We'll be looking at the book of John, chapter 2, beginning with the verse 1. And just follow along. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His servants said to the mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Well, let me just stop right there for a moment. The title of my message this morning is "Just Do Whatever He Tells You." Just do whatever he tells you. This morning I want to continue in a vein of messages that I am in for January as we are praying and seeking God for His purposes for this year, for our lives. In my last message for December, we looked at how do we navigate 2025. And it was for us to first pray when situations arise. How many know prayer should never be a last resort? Amen. And as we saw with the story of Jehoshaphat, we pray and we confess to the Lord that, "Lord, we don't know what to do." Yet we declare that our eyes are on the Lord. And we will just praise Him as we give it all to Him. He then takes over. And we find the battle becomes His. Do you realize the comfort and the joy that that can bring to our soul if we take that at heart? That can be a revelation to us. It can turn our lives around. Our first message in January was Good News Sunday. Because anytime we talk about what Jesus did for us, guess what? That's good news. We looked at sowing and reaping because we want to make sure we're always sowing good seed in our lives and especially in this new year going forward. And the Bible tells us we will reap what we sow. Yet the good news is if we confess our sins, surrender our lives to the Lord Jesus, He comes and He washes away the bad seed that we have sown. Wow, what an awesome thing. Last Sunday was about letting the Lord build our house. Unless He builds it, the builder labors in vain. Simply meaning the Lord wants to be a part of everything that we do concerning our lives. And when we do that, we can be assured of experience in a life of victory and not defeat. We trust Him and we commit our lives to Him. Through our story today, I believe we will find some truths then that will be beneficial for all of us in this new year. So I want us to continue on with the rest of these verses of this story. We're going to pick up at verse 6. Would you follow along with me? "Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons." How many know we're talking about big jars here? And it was for washing. Verse 7, "Jesus said to the servants, 'Fill the jars with water.' So they filled them to the brim. Then He told them, 'Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet.' They did so. and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine, after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." Verse 11. What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So we have here then the very first supernatural manifestation of power associated with Jesus, which caused his disciples to believe in him in a new way. We see here then that it happened in a wedding in Cana of Galilee. Notice it happened in the circumstances of everyday life. It's sad to think that so many folks who are in the church who profess then to know Jesus and have put their trust in him for their salvation, yet how little they are open to what God could do in just the everyday circumstances for them. So many Christians reserve God for Sunday services only and want him to move in their midst, and he does that. And they want him for those emergency moments. Yet the miracle of turning water into wine happened in the flow of a simple wedding. Why would John record that story and share it with us? And we find that Matthew, Mark, and Luke didn't even touch the story. So what is there in this story for us, especially as we begin the new year and we're praying for God's purpose and desiring to live a life that is pleasing to him? So Jesus turned the water into wine. Well, why did he do that? Well, because he was at this wedding. And more than likely, had he not been there, he wouldn't have turned the water into wine. And there would have been no miracle and no manifestation of God's power. So why was Jesus there? The answer is simple, yet so profound. Because he was invited. Because he was invited. We see in our story that Mary, Jesus' mother, was invited. And yes, Jesus, along with his disciples, were also invited. So guess what? We learn here that Jesus comes where he's invited. He's invited into the wedding, so he went to that wedding. Well, what does that mean for you and me? Well, let me just ask us, how did we become a Christian? We who know the Lord now as believers, guess what? We invited him into our lives to be our Savior and our Lord. I confessed my sins, and I repented of my sins, and I asked him to come into my life and wash away my sins and live in my heart, and he did that. And through then the Holy Spirit to be the ruler of my life and be Lord and be my Savior. And guess what? He is. Whoever receives him like that, guess what? He comes in when he's invited. And I, like so many of you, invited him in, and I'm so very happy he accepted, Linda, my invitation. Yet the scripture tells us in the same book, John chapter 1 and verse 11, he came unto his own, meaning the Jewish people, and what happened? His own received him not. They did not welcome him. They did not invite him in. So he had to move on. Understand with me, Jesus goes where he's invited. All right? Why don't we just take this just a little bit further? This morning when you woke up, did you invite him into your day? Yes, as a born-again believer, we have His Spirit in us automatically. But He also wants to hear from us. Guess what? He's not a picture to hang on the wall and look at. He's not a figure on a cross hanging around our neck all day long that you might hold up at times and kiss it like a lucky charm. No. He's alive and He wants to spend the day with you and me. To walk with us, to share the day with you and me. He wants to hear the truth come from our lips that says, Lord Jesus, I can't make it through this day and be what you want me to be. I can do nothing without you, but with you, your word says all things are possible. Lord, I want to be strong and be a walking testimony of you, but I can't do that without you. So right now, Lord, I invite you to take over my day. And guess what's going to happen? He'll come because He knows that He's welcome. Remember, where we invite Him, He comes. If we don't invite Him, guess what? All bets are off. Yes, His Spirit dwells with us, but I'm talking about inviting Him into your decision-making in 2025. What decisions do you have to make about your career, or your job, or your family, or your rent, or raising your children? Listen, godly people down through the ages, down through the church age, were known for this. They had this intimacy with the Lord where they were inviting Him into everything, every situation, inviting Him in, praying about everything, asking His advice, looking to Him and His word for wisdom and direction. And we ought to be the same way as that. So let's invite Him in. Day by day, hour by hour, and guess what? Decision by decision. Well, Pastor, I'm just going to do what seems right. Yes, just watch where that gets you to. And speaking to the seasoned saints, have we not all learned that what seems right to us is not always right and is maybe not the wisest thing? So the miracle happened because Jesus was there. And Jesus was there, why? Because He was invited. So Lord, help us this year to invite You into everything concerning our lives. Invite Him in to talk, to share the day concerning every kind of situation. Just know this, when He's invited, He will come. And where He comes, guess what? Something good is going to happen. Woo! All right, number two. Mary, who was Jesus' mother, came to Him and said, they have no more wine. Listen, that's five words. And notice this request that brought about a miracle. They have no more wine. Here goes. She told Him, Brother Tony, the need. She told Him the need. If Mary had not told Jesus the need, the water would not have been turned into wine. And guess what? That's called a petition. In all of the communion we have with the Lord, there's a general word for prayer, but there's a specific word that designates petition. And it's asking Him to meet certain needs. Here they have no more wine. And with that, the first miracle happened. Well, Pastor, God knows everything. And He knows my needs. And if He wants to meet my needs, He'll do it. Well, pardon my French. Then you're going to be waiting a long time. Because the Bible says you have not because you ask not. He understands English. He may not understand the folks from New York or out from West Texas, but it might take him a little bit to get understand. Understand something with me this morning. God wants to build our faith. Did you know that? He wants to prove to us what a faithful Father He really is. So He says, ask and you'll receive. Not think and you'll receive. Not complain and you'll receive. Not be negative and you'll receive. Not get depressed and you'll receive. What did He say? Ask. Oh, but Pastor, this is so basic. It's so simple-minded. And it may very well be. But guess what? I'm just following what the Scripture's saying. John wrote this story under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They have no more wine. The implication here then is help. Think about this then. How many times have we worried about things and we never told the Lord about it? And so we fretted and we got anxious and we maybe lost some sleep simply because we did not carry everything to God in prayer, as that song says. You ask and you don't have to use the King James language with all the these and the thous. Did you know that? He'll hear you, like I said, when you talk plain English and just tell the Lord. Like right now, what do you need on this Sunday morning, January the 19th in 2025? What do you need? Is it how to raise that child or that grandchild? Is it a financial need? Have you told the Lord about it? Because either you're going to carry it, or I'm going to carry it, or the Lord's going to carry it. One or the other. We find Peter then, Jesus' disciple and an apostle, writing about it this way. In 1 Peter 5 and 7, casting all your cares upon Him. Why? Because He cares for us. Meaning He loves us and is concerned about us. Personally, about our lives and everything concerning our lives. So how then do you cast your cares upon the Lord? By simply talking to Him and saying, Lord, this is too heavy for me. This is too much for me. I can't do this on my own. I can't handle this, Lord. Please lead me in this matter. It may be about that new job. It might be about moving or whatever is going on in your life or that of your family. Listen, if you make knee-jerk reactions without asking the Lord for guidance, and if you live with burdens that you can't carry, let me ask, what do you think is going to happen? That burden around your neck will get heavier then by the hour and by the day. And you're going to find yourself bowed down, bowed over with the cares of life. Looking down, not able to look ahead to see what good things that are ahead for you. Are you going to see is the mud and the dirt and the mess that you're standing in right then and not be able to see down the road? Bring it to the Lord. Would you look at somebody, just tell them, bring it to the Lord. We were reminded of this scripture Wednesday night, Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That's your mind, will, and emotions. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Whew. I don't want it to be said about me. I don't want it written on my tombstone, he had not because he asked not. I don't want to be remembered by that. But again, Pastor, God is on the throne. And yes, I believe that very much so. Nothing happens unless he rules and allows it to happen. The permissive will of God refers to those things that God allows to happen, but does not directly will it to happen. He does not because he says, you have not because you asked not. In other words, I would have done it for you, but you did not ask. For 2025 and yes, beyond, how about let's just start asking, because he has so much for us waiting for us to ask. And yes, it's by asking in faith, knowing that he's going to do it. Not thinking, not hoping it might, knowing. You ask, he's going to do it. Listen, in his own hometown, the Bible says he could do no mighty miracles. Why do you think they wrote that? Because of their unbelief. Let me ask us, how is unbelief then manifested so many times in one's life? It's by not asking, because really you don't believe he can do it. So then what happens is I'm deciding that I'll carry that problem by myself. Listen, don't do that. Don't carry it. You let it go. Listen, let go of that grown son or that grown daughter and their situation. That's only going to wear you down. You cannot fix it. Give it to God and see what God will do. Yes, you might be able to help them out of that financial situation, but will that help them in the long run? No, God may want to be teaching them something to maybe seek him on their own. He will work it so much better than we ever could on our own. Did you know that? When we give it to him. They have no more wine. 5 words. Speak it from your heart. Whatever the need is today that you feel in your heart. Give it to the Lord, because that's how the miracle happened. Why was he there? He was invited. How did the miracle happen? They told him what the need was. They have no more wine. Now, Mary then, in this story, said a great thing. She told the servants to do whatever he tells you. Guess what? That's another 5 words. Understand, there will be no miracle unless there's first this attitude of submission and obedience to the words and directions of the Master. So what does that mean for us? Do whatever he tells you to do in 2025. Listen, do you and I desire God's blessings on our lives? Do we desire his provision and his protection? Yes, I know I do. So how about desiring then the Holy Spirit blessing us instead of being grieved? Yes. Then remember this, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can quench or we can stifle the Holy Spirit from working in our lives. So how do we do that? Simply through our disobedience. You can't have God's blessing and answering while you're disobeying his word. Guess what? Those two things don't go together. You can't have it both ways. You can't have hate toward others. You can't have bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness and be holding a grudge in your heart. You can't be living an unclean life and be sleeping around or involved in sexual immorality of any kind and then go to God, but Lord, smile on me today. And yet people think we can live that way with God. But Pastor, are you saying the only way we'll have God's favor is if we're perfect? No, that's not what I'm saying. Understand that none of us are perfect. Did you know that? The Bible says if anyone says he has no sin, he's a liar and truth is not in him. Yet if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Oh my. You must have an attitude of obedience. Lord, I want to reverence you today. Lord, I want to fully obey your word. And guess what? If we slip and fall, what do? We repent and we confess and we get up and keep going on our way, running that race. But you can't knowingly live in disobedience and then ask God to be doing you a favor. An example of that is found sadly in the church, where leaders are practicing that more than ever today. And God, guess what? God is not putting up with that any longer. Where you think that you can live any way you want, and then our Heavenly Father, who is full of love, is just going to overlook your unrepented, sinful lifestyle and your practices. And for many, where you hate people, you attack people, especially anyone who disagrees, and especially through social media, you're humiliating them. And then they have the gall then to say, "Dear Heavenly Father, I really have some needs today." Listen, that's a joke. And it's almost, guess what? It's almost a mockery to Almighty God. Understand with me this morning, we have got to be repentant. We have to have an attitude of repentance. Do whatever He tells you. As you read this word, do whatever He tells you to do. Repent. Get away. Get out of that wrong relationship if it's unequally yoked. Do what He tells you. Let me ask, do you think He's going to hurt you after dying on the cross for you? No. Do you think He's going to tell us something now that's going to be a hard blow to hurt us? Absolutely not. Do whatever He tells you, even when He directs you concerning His plan for your life. Notice what He said to the servants. Fill these big jars with water. And that's not like a moral command. It's a directive to carry out God's will for that moment. What if they would have said, "Hey, no, why don't you fill it? Rabbi or whatever you are, you fill it. The need is wine. Did you hear what your mother said? They have no more wine. What's this about doing it with water?" Listen, did you know sometimes God directs us then to call somebody, to pray for somebody, to step out into a ministry of faith, almost like walking on water? This morning, perhaps God is saying, go for that. You know, I put it in your heart, now do it. But Lord, it doesn't make any sense. Just go ahead and do it. Do whatever He tells you, and that's how the miracle happened. He was invited. He was told what the need was. And there were people then ready to do whatever He told them to do. this morning, can I just tell you, I want that for every one of us here at New Life. I want that for you. I want that for me. I want this for everybody in our community who loves the Lord with all of their heart. So as I close this morning, number one, we have to invite Him into whatever is going on in our lives. Number two, tell Him what the problem is. Yes, He's on the throne. Yes, He already knows the end from the beginning. But He's waiting to hear the words come from your mouth. Talk to Him today. As you get alone with Him, tell Him your heartfelt need. That cry that's deep inside of your soul. And number three, Lord, here am I. I'm so in need of your grace, but I will do it. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Five words. Did you know five is the number for grace? Can I tell you, this can be our best year, even in the midst of chaos, even in the midst of uncertainty. We can thrive and not just survive. We can be bold with our faith, Brother Tony, and not live in fear. He will do beyond what we could ever ask or think. He's ready. So, Lord, make us people who invite you in to everything concerning our lives. This morning, can we determine anew to invite Him into our lives in a brand new way? Here's my prayer this morning for me. When it comes to my ministry, or comes to my family, or it comes to my extended family. And then this can be the prayer for all of us. God, lead us, guide us, bless us, help us, forgive us, show mercy. Help us to be very frank and bold in asking you to supply the needs that we have in our lives. And finally, Lord, give us the grace of an obedient heart. One that's submissive. One that's humble. Not full of ourselves, but full of you and your spirit. Lord, walk with us. Smile upon us so that every day we can be showing people that we are smiling because the hand of the Lord, Brother Tony, is with us. And yes, we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's all stand together. God bless you. Thank you for watching. We hope this word takes root in your heart. Don't let it be stolen today. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you. I thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your word today. Again, Lord, let us take it, put it deep in our hearts. Help us to walk in obedience to you. Help us to get to that place that we share everything with you. You already know everything. You know the end from the beginning. But Lord, you want us to include you in everything that we do about our lives, because we're part of your family. We're your children, and you want to hear about our day-by-day activities. You want to be there for us like a good father, ready to pick us up if we fall, ready to give us advice that we don't mess up in the long run. Something that will be detrimental to our lives in the long run. You'll give us that advice. You'll help us. You'll show us the right thing to do, the right words to say, the right direction to go. All you want to do is for us to talk to you, to be included. We'll see those miracles. You have them waiting for us in every area of our lives. So, Lord, we thank you today. I thank you for this church family. Lead us this year. Lord, we want your purpose in our lives. We want to walk pleasing to you. Lord, we call the harvest into this body, into this church, those that you have for this assembly. We call them in from the north and the south and the east and the west. And we thank you. We thank you for the harvest. Lord, we want to be a part. We want to do our part. We don't want to be on the sidelines. We want to be down on the playing field doing what you've called us to do. Be with us this week. Bring us back Wednesday night as we gather for prayer. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.